Open your Bibles. We're going to finish our Project Jericho series tonight. It's our last night in it. Some of you guys are like, woohoo, we're tired of hearing about Jericho. But open up to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, or you can look on the screens. And we're going to look at verse 17 and then verses 22 to 25 real quick. Verse 17 says this, Joshua 6. And the city, talking about Jericho, and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. Now, that right there is a heavy verse just by itself, all right? There's a lot there. It's heavy, but let's keep going. Jump down to verse 22. It says, but to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, go into the prostitute's house, bring her out from there, the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her. So the young men who had been spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought out all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now, I often read this passage after going through this whole story. We've talked about how the people of Israel were told by God, go take Jericho out. I want to give you a promised land, but you got to go through Jericho to get there. So they come up and they see this massive city. Remember, the walls are huge. You could drive chariots around it. People live in the walls. It's one of like the wonders of the world of the day. It's massive. And they're like, God, how do you want us to take this city? And Joshua goes to this hillside and he's like looking at it, strategizing. And he looks over and there's this big, strong dude there with his sword out. And he's like, is he going to kill me? So he runs up to him. He's like, are you my enemy or are you with us? And he's like, neither. He's like, I'm the general of God here. I command God's armies. And he's like, I'm ready to go. Are you? And he falls on his feet before Jesus, who's right there in person. And he starts to worship him and takes his sandals off. Doesn't give him a battle plan. He just says, I just want you to worship me and trust me. So then that happens. And then all of a sudden, God comes up to Joshua. He's like, here's what you're going to do. I want you to take all your army. You're not going to draw your swords. You're just going to march. The priests are going to be standing here. And then the Ark of the Covenant's going to be here. And then you got these guys. The priests are going to blow their horns. And you're going to march around blowing horns. And then all of a sudden, at the very end of this whole deal, you guys are going to shout out really loud. And the walls are going to crash down. And Joshua wasn't like, well, hey, listen, that sounds crazy, God. You want us to play them like a marching band? Like, that's what we're doing here? Like, last I checked, armies won battles, not marching bands. Although FSU's probably marching bands better than their football team. But that's totally aside the point, right? So they go out and they march. They do it. They obey. Walls come down, right? The walls come down. And then God comes up to Joshua and he's like, hey, listen, remember the spies we sent in there earlier? All right, they were helped by this prostitute named Rahab. And so there was a promise made. When she helped them, because of her faith, we promised that she would survive when we took over the city. So you're not going to go in and kill her. You're going to make sure she gets out safely and all of her family. You're getting them out of the city, but everyone else and everything else dies. Whoa. That's crazy. So when the walls come down, God reminds Joshua, get them out. Make sure this woman comes out. So I have to stop for a second because this doesn't make sense. Wait a minute, God. Why'd you send spies in there? What was the purpose of spies? Did the spies go in and come back saying, look, here's where they're weak and the walls, they have these like weak points over here. If we like put some dynamite down there, then no, they didn't come back with a plan. They didn't come back with like really good tips of how they were going to take over Jericho. They just came back and they said, you know what happened when we went in there? They almost killed us. But they didn't. Because this woman who was a prostitute took us into her house and saved our lives. So I'm thinking, God, why did you even send spies into Jericho? It wasn't like they were making a battle plan for you. But we see here why. It wasn't to like get all this really juicy information. It was so that their lives would be at stake. So that a woman who was broken, whose life seemed worthless, who had no hope, who was lost in sin, could find these guys and save their lives. Because you know why? She becomes part of the line to Jesus. This woman, we find out later, at the end it says that today, to this day, she still lives in Israel. I don't think if we went over there, we would still see this really old, wrinkly lady sitting in a rocking chair. She's like, I've been around since Jericho, sonny. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. Like, she's not still there. But you know what he's saying is that her family line is still there. Because when these guys rescued this prostitute that no one thought was worth anything at all, who was a total outcast, she marries into the line of David. And all of a sudden, Jesus is born with her as a great-great-great-grandmother. So Jesus came through her bloodline. So these spies weren't ever sent in to come up with a battle plan. These spies were sent in so that she would be saved. It's unbelievable. Because it's also the story of me and you. We're broken. Sometimes we feel worthless. And there's not a whole lot we have to offer God when it comes to battle plan for his kingdom. He commands angel armies. Does he need Rob Jones? But then he looks down into a broken world where I live, and he sees this dude, and he says, hey, Rob, I'm pulling you out of that mess, and I'm bringing you into my family. Like, the story of Rahab, this little picture in the middle of this crazy, awesome battle, is really the story of you and I. That God loves you so much that it doesn't matter what you think about yourself, or if you feel worthless, or you're down on yourself, or you feel hopeless, God has a plan for you. And God loves you right in the middle of your mess, right in the middle of your sin. I used to sit in your seat and I'd hear my youth pastor preach the same thing to me growing up. And I'd sit there, you know what I'd think in my head? You don't know me. You don't know what I do. You don't know what I think. You don't know the things that I say or how I talk when I'm with my friends. Like, there's no way that could be about me. But I see a story about a woman who is totally just morally corrupt. And God still looks at her with eyes of love and says, it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what I'm about to do for you. And he takes her out of Jericho and he saves her. And that's what he wants to do for you and me. Some of you guys have already done that. You know, God's already come up to you and he's called you and you've responded and you've said, yes, Lord, and you've been saved. But then there's these moments in between there where you've kind of like forgotten what you were saved to. You keep wanting to run back into Jericho. You keep wanting to crawl under the ashes and the debris and live there and say, this is really where I belong. Instead of standing up saying, I am now in the bloodline of Jesus. I am adopted into the family of God and living that way. You know, Project Jericho is all about that. We've been talking about this for months now for one reason. We are trying to build you up so you can go into your schools and tear walls down for God's kingdom. Part of that means that you believe that God really is calling you to do this. And I'm here tonight to tell you, he's calling you to do this. I don't know where you stand tonight. I don't know if you feel like you have courage to do that or it scares you out of your mind thinking like, wait, he wants to send me where? He wants me to talk to who? Do you know the kids I go to school with? And I'm talking about Christian school too. I've been on that campus. It's not always easy to live for Jesus, even in a Christian school, especially in a Christian school. And there are just as terrible things happening in Christian schools as there are in public schools. And it's not about your courage and your strength and your ability. It's about you saying, I can be like Rahab. I can be this broken person because I got a big God. And he's calling me out of the city and he's calling me to do an incredible thing. Do you believe he's calling you? Do you believe it tonight? Or are you going to listen to Satan lie to you even tonight saying you're just in high school? You're just in middle school. What is God really going to do for you? How's God going to use you? No, you're exactly who God's calling. I'm going on to campuses all over this island, seeing students stand up and do the thing we're talking about. And I am watching God call middle school students to stand up and share the gospel and to lead their friends to Christ and to start Bible studies. And it's unbelievable, because a year ago I would have been like, whoa, I never thought God would have used you, bro. Like, seriously, not you. No, seriously, I didn't think it. But God did. He used these crazy kids. Because his plans are huge and he's strong. And you know what? He can use you too. So will you just, I know there's a lot of distraction right now. Can you just focus for a second? What is God calling you to do? If you don't know, will you ask him tonight? You just ask him. Say, Lord, what is it? What is my Jericho? What is it on my campus you're calling me to do? And will you have the courage to say, I'll be Rahab. I'll let you use me. I'll let you call me out of this mess. Will you stop using the excuses? Will you stop listening to Satan's lies about you? And say, God, yes. Tomorrow when I go back to school, it's going to be different. Whatever it is you tell me to do, whatever it is you call me to do, I'm doing it tomorrow. I'm going to stop being scared. I'm going to step up and I'm going to follow you. God does not need to use spies. He doesn't need me or you to accomplish his purpose. But he sure can use them. He sure can put them to good use. If you're willing to go, God, here I am. He doesn't need you. But he sure can use you. If you're willing to say, God, I want to be used. Let it be me. I know I'm in seventh grade, God. Or maybe I know I'm a senior. I'm about out of here. But I'm not going to get senioritis so badly that I forget. I'm going to step up and be like, God, let me use these last couple months I have in the school to make a difference. Will you say yes to Jesus tonight? You guys close your eyes and bow your heads. I know tonight was a little bit shorter because we got some stuff to do, but I hope you got the point. These last 8 weeks have been about talking about you standing up and being built up to go out and do some awesome stuff for Jesus because he wants to use you. Will you say yes tonight? Look, I know he's talking to some of you guys in this room. Some of you I've had conversations with, and I know you're wrestling with it. So maybe tonight God's like, hey, listen, that conversation you've had, say yes tonight. So I'm going to give you guys a chance right now just to respond before God, before me as I look out, so we can be praying for you. Will you say yes tonight to Jesus? If you're willing to say yes, will you just slip your hand up in the air and say, yeah, tonight's the night I'm going to say yes. I'm going to do something on my campus. I'm going to step up. I'm going to listen to the call of Jesus, and I'm going to do. Man, that's awesome. That's a lot of hands. Anybody else? You're still nervous. You're not lifting that hand up, but like you want to. Will you say yes to Jesus tonight? I'm getting after this. Thank you. You guys can put your hands down. And maybe there's someone here tonight who you've been coming to Firehouse or you've been going to youth group, but you've never really accepted Jesus. You're just going because they have cool games or whatever else, but there's never a point where you got forgiven of your sins, where you said, I have a relationship with God now. And maybe you feel a lot like Rahab and you're like, how can he forgive me? And I tell you tonight, he wants to, and he's willing to. He's waiting for you to say, here, God, take my life. If that's you tonight and you want to be saved, you want your sins forgiven, and you want to be right with God, will you slip your hand up in the air and just say, that's me. I want to be forgiven. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that's awesome. Keep your hands up high. Here's what I want to do. Just with your hand up, you don't have to go anywhere, but I want to ask your life group leaders just to look around and see you so they can have a conversation with you later. All right, I'm going to pray for you guys, and then we'll continue in worship. Father God, we love you so much. Lord, thank you that you have a plan for people like me. Thank you that you love us right where we're at. And even though you don't need us, God, thank you that you want to use us and you do a really good job with us. And so tonight we're asking you to give us strength, to give us faith, to give us the courage to step up and to go do the things you've already been clear about. You've already called us to go, to make disciples, to share your love on our campuses. Will you give students some really big dreams and visions about how you want to do that on their campus? How you want to include them in this awesome mission that you're on to build your church? God, we're asking you, will you use us, please? God, let us be a part of this. Give us the courage to say yes and to really step out and do. And I pray that 3,500 students on this island would receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every middle school and high school student would have repeated opportunities to hear the word of God and to respond. And for those who raise their hand tonight to be saved, God, I pray that before they leave, that they would have a conversation with me or with their life group leader. And they wouldn't leave this place without knowing for sure that if they were to die today, they would see you and they'd be welcome into your heaven. So Father, we love you and we ask you to be glorified. Be with us as we play and have fun for the rest of the night. Be glorified by the way we do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.